a distinct nation. The Torah instructs us to be a holy nation, living distinct from the nations that surround us. We must not mingle with them or mimic their ways, for we may become influenced by their lifestyles. Instead, we should focus on our unique mission of Torah and mitzvahs. The halacha is that one cannot join a goy in an eruv chatzeres, a courtyard eruv. Rather, he must rent the goy space from him. Chazal instituted this to make it difficult for the yid, thereby compelling the yid to move away from that courtyard so that he will not learn from the goy's ways. Likewise, the Chachamim did not allow people to take interest when lending money to a goy, so that Yidden will not spend time with goyim and learn from their conduct. Similarly, Chazal forbade a Yid to eat a goy's bread and cooked foods, so that he would not socialize with him at the dinner table, and then Chas v'Shalom come to transgress. At the age of 14, Reb Baruch, the Alter Rebbe's father, lost his parents. He traveled from town to town for 3 years until he arrived in Lyozhne, where he was employed to guard an orchard that two Yidden held on lease from the local Paritz. Young Baruch enjoyed the peace and quiet and would spend his time davening and learning without anyone detecting his greatness in Torah and Avodah. At harvest time, he would help his employers, Reb Avraham and Reb Israel, and their families and other workers who would gather and pack the fruits. The workers, including the goyim, were impressed by him, for he was well-built, handsome, had a sweet voice, and spoke a fluent Polish. One day, the Paritz visited the orchard with his family, and noticing Baruch's capabilities, engaged him in a discussion. They were amazed to hear his rich language. Baruch felt very uncomfortable with all the attention he was receiving. The next day, the Paritz and his family returned specifically to speak with him, and after their discussion, invited him to visit their estate. However, Baruch declined their invitation. One evening, while alone in the orchard, Baruch was unexpectedly visited by the son of the Paritz. "Good evening," said the young visitor. "My father would like to invite you to spend the night with us, for we know how lonely it is out here." Baruch knew that this visit would not bring good results, so he told him that he could not leave the orchard unattended. The visitor left, but returned shortly with two men accompanied by huge watchdogs, saying, "Here, they'll take care of the job while you're gone." Baruch was stuck. Personally, he had no qualms refusing the offer of the Paritz, but he knew that a refusal could cause the Paritz to pour out his wrath on the Yidden of Lyozne. He therefore decided to accept the invitation, but resolved not to display any fear and to represent himself with Yiddish pride in the spirit of the Torah. He was welcomed at the castle with great friendship, which greatly displeased him, and he took the first opportunity to show his confidence by refusing to remove his hat. He explained in fluent Polish that a Yid is required to constantly feel Hashem's presence, and hence cannot go bareheaded. The Paritz and his family were deeply impressed by the self-assurance and boldness of a simple Yiddish watchman, especially since they were used to seeing Yidden trembling and behaving subserviently. In fact, the Paritz showed such respect for his young guest that he covered his own head with his hat. Baruch entered into a deep discussion about the value of Yiddish minhagim and emphasized the unfairness of using one's supremacy to interfere with another's beliefs and way of life. He displayed his wisdom and knowledge and explained many psukim and memorei chazal, all in fluent Polish, meanwhile contrasting the two worlds, the goyish world of materialism and the Yiddish world of ruchnius. The Paritz thirstily drank all that Baruch said, but his children were unhappy with the direction the conversation had taken. They preferred lighter talk, so they decided to visit the orchard themselves the following day, just to schmooze. Foreseeing the possible danger in this friendship, Baruch was vexed and tried to think of a solution to get out of it. Meanwhile, he was invited to the dining room that had been set up with dozens of delicacies, and although the food was kosher, he decided to eat nothing in order not to strengthen their relationship. Fortunately, he did not need to excuse himself, for at that moment, the youngest child of the Paritz burnt himself with hot water, and the whole family ran to help with the emergency. Baruch took the opportunity to slip away and return to the orchard. That night, he could not sleep. What would he do if the children of the Paritz came the next day to speak with him? All through the night, he said Tillim with tears. The next day, he heard that the child had died, but he still felt restless, knowing that the other children of the Paritz were likely to come despite the tragedy. He decided to unburden himself to Reb Avraham and tell him of his decision to leave the job. Reb Avraham accepted his request, and that night he and Reb Israel took over the task of guarding the orchard. It transpired that Baruch's suspicions were justified, for later that evening the son and daughter of the Paritz came to the orchard, and when they heard that he was no longer there, they went home disappointed. As for Baruch, he received his wages from the partners and was now able to return to the Beis Medrash to immerse himself in davening and learning. The Baal Shem Tov once went to mikveh in a place that was populated by goyim. On his way back after toiveling, he was afraid that a goy might touch him chas v'shalom. While he was walking, he overheard one goy tell another, "Be careful not to touch this contaminated yid." His grandson, the author of Degel Machne Ephraim, explained that this is the meaning of the pasuk "Hein am levadad yishkoin." They are a nation that dwells apart. The yidden do not mingle with the goyim because, as that pasuk continues, "Uvagoyim lo yischashov," they are not counted among the nations. That is to say, the yidden are not esteemed in the eyes of the goyim, and paradoxically, this is for the good of the yid. On numerous occasions, the Rebbe emphasized that standing apart from the goyim in all areas of conduct will not cause the goyim to dislike the yidden, as some yidden over history had believed. On the contrary, it will elicit their respect and admiration, seeing how the yidden live distinct and true to their tradition.